Colin, Mark Zuckerberg's going to start getting a complex. He's going to think that you don't like him and Facebook because you're picking on them again. Tell us why.
Well, I've got to start to say it feels a little weird that this is the Ides of March. And I feel like I'm calling for friends, Romans, and countrymen to live in the ears. I've got a little bit of a thing like that. And the repeatedly...
We're all ears.
Ah, there you go. And it feels like the repeatedly punctured corpse in the coffin is our online privacy. And Brutus happens to be a man born in 1984 called Mark Zuckerberg. And I say so because by any business measure, Facebook has been supremely successful. It's arguably the most disruptive. It's the most significant business of the century. And that's taking things like Google and Amazon and Alibaba into account. And the only potential person I think that can, or a company that rivals that, is Apple. Because effectively, the mobile platform upon which Facebook has built its success was created with the iPhone. Every year, Mark Zuckerberg typically posts around about this time of the year what the goals are for Facebook. And for the longest time, that's always been talking about a connected and open place. Friends should be meeting and ideas should be flowing. But last week, the 6th of March, he posted the plan for 2019, and it is very different to what it was to now. And so maybe as a starter, let's just go back and see how did we get here. So he starts this thing in 2004. It gets open to everybody in 2006. I happened to join in 2007. And I went to go and have a look because last year when everybody was delete Facebook, I went to go and download all my files. And I noticed that the first post I made had a comment from a friend that said, "Welcome to the dark side." I guess they knew something then that I didn't. But yeah, so 13 years since then, lots gone down. But effectively, Facebook is the largest social media network. It is the largest photo sharing service. It is the largest messaging service. If you take the 7.5 billion of us wandering around the planet, and thankfully from last year, more than half of us now are online, Facebook has 2.2 billion users. None, though, are official users in China, which has the most web users in any country with 800 million. So if you subtract that from the total available online, then effectively Facebook has managed to get 75% penetration for everybody that's available to connect on the internet. And it's done that in effectively 12 years. And I say 12 years, not 13, because it's the mobile web that most people access the web by. And they launched their mobile Facebook page on January the 10th, 2007. And the day before, Steve Jobs walked out onto a stage and said one more thing. So this is how closely those two things have gone. But when you consider that growth, 2.2 billion users now, then to achieve that, that's the equivalent of 15 million new users every month for 12 years. That's all of South Africa signed up to this platform in little under 4 months. That's how rapidly it was growing. And so there's just no way. By no measure can you say this is not being a really successful company. I went to go and have a look. Which company has the largest IPO? Facebook is number 3. Alibaba and Visa take 1 and 2. It is profitable. Most of these unicorn businesses have massive valuations but aren't making profits. It is. It's making over $50 billion every year in revenues. And when you think about its products, there's Facebook, there's Messenger, there's WhatsApp, and there's Instagram. Each of them, over a billion users accessing it every single month. But, and here is the but coming now, because here's 2019 for you. They have had a lot of things go wrong. So despite it being a proud 30,000 strong company, they have had too many failures, specifically with users' data not remaining private, despite having said so. It has denied, then had to acknowledge, not just how much, but how easily people could post misinformation on the website. And I say misinformation because it was intentional rather than somebody didn't know it was ignorant. And not just that they could post it, that they could advertise it, they could pay to make it shared. And despite Facebook being this wonderful tool, which arguably could be said was one of the things that allowed the Arab Spring to be as effective as it was, it's the exact same tool that allowed for the xenophobic clashes in Bangladesh and Myanmar to be as deadly as they were, for meddling in a variety of elections, the US, the UK, and many other countries certainly to be attempted. It is certainly enabling when it comes to cyberbullying, revenge porn, and spread of terror messages. So this is all the kind of stuff that counts as the fail column. And it's fair to say it wasn't intentional. Mark Zuckerberg has remained this, you know, I think his intentions were good, but there is a US regulation around internet operators that if you Don't take responsibility for the publication of what you're doing there. If you consider yourself a platform and not a publisher, then you can't be held legally responsible for the stuff that gets posted on your platform. And uh-huh. I think they use that in a large part to say, this is how we do it. And certainly in our conversations when we've talked about it, we've said, but Facebook, you are a publisher. Stop trying to pretend like you're not part of the media when you are responsible for so many people's access to news stories these days. And the bit that makes it really problematic is they created the newsfeed in sort of 2009. And what they did was to take all the posts that we've been posted. Remember, these days, 1.5 billion people every day go on the platform, many of those posting stuff. So you can't see everything that your friends are posting. So what they did was to say, how do we create a method for showing you the best stuff first? The best stuff is also sometimes the most damaging. The reason why the bad misinformation, the things that make you angry, the things that make you want to spread bad information, is that their own algorithm is looking to try and create that engagement. And so this is the big issue. And that kind of gets us to where we are now, because despite things not looking terribly for their revenues, I'm not sure advertisers or users are willing to say, hey, just keep going and we'll trust you. Something will need to change, and I think they've seen the writing on the wall, and it looks like last week Mark Zuckerberg posted what the things are. So here are three of the sort of larger things. The first one is to move to a smaller groups and more private posting. And this is kind of an acknowledgement that when it comes to social media in general, the messaging platforms seem to be winning out the battle than posting everything publicly. There's obviously still very much, it's very popular. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook still have a very big place. But the notion of, you know, chatting to friends and keeping a little closer is bigger.
Because, I mean, the genesis of Facebook was precisely that, to keep in touch with buddies, keep in touch with pals, to you know, just, I don't know, be nice to each other. And it's just been overtaken by humanity and human beings behaving badly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic case. When there's a few people doing something and they're drawn together for a noble purpose, they do great stuff. When you add everybody, and again, this is part of the conversation we're having, when news or information that can be shared was restricted to people who had to show they had training and an ability to verify information, check that it was true and all those good things, we had less of a problem. Now you created a tool that everybody could be a publisher. Everybody decided what was going to be the truth. And nobody could easily tell what that was. And this is kind of what it – Facebook in the last year or two really ramped up its attempts to try and identify or at least label information that was false. Using a whole bunch of fact checkers, some of which have said, listen, it's just not working for us. There's too much. They have brought on tens of thousands of moderators to check for posts that have been flagged that don't conform to its very comprehensive and quite fair community rules. But with so much content being posted, it's almost impossible to police it all, which again comes back to this notion that they're shifting now to have smaller groups see fewer things. Hopefully, you don't create this wildfire viral sort of thing where, as was the case, I think, in India, WhatsApp, they were sending messages about accusations about pedophilia and stuff, and people were getting killed. They didn't know what the basis was. Nobody could sort of stop it or rectify it. It was just running wild.
And, you know, the difficulty of intervening in something that has been a free-for-all, for want of a better word, where you could post what you like and there was no consequence. Janine Mayberg this evening on Twitter tells me that censorship on Facebook has begun. For the last half hour, I've been unable to post anything about vaccinations or any related material. Don't worry about those who've been harmed. Freedom of speech just vanished. And Facebook is walking into that as a big mess.
It is, and I can tell you just anecdotally, they're not the only ones that's got that exact problem. A story from this week has Amazon been called out for allowing people to post anything, you know, books, Amazon books, for publishers to say, here's my book, put it up on Amazon, I want to sell it. And there are plenty of books, for example, that make the connection between vaccinations and autism. And in this week, Amazon had said, listen, we hear you and we've removed those because they don't conform to our guidelines. I did a check today. The third book that comes up when I simply search for autism on Amazon Books is a book labeled as a bestseller by an author who claims vaccinations cause autism. Now, it's not censorship, even though lots of people are calling out and saying, well, there goes our free speech. If something is simply not true, that's not censorship. And this is the bit that I suppose.
tell that to the fruitcakes and the lunatics.
Yeah, so I get why people have a real reason to want to talk about censorship. If we go back to the China model, where they simply say, we decide what is true and not true, that's proper censorship. If you say, hang on, if we can have somebody independently verify for us that these things are or are not true, and on that basis, we will or won't allow it, that's a very different model and system. And that's, I think, what Facebook, Amazon, and everybody tries to do. But when they built these platforms, they built them for scale. And when you make something capable of having everybody access it, it becomes very hard to moderate and limit it. And this is the challenge that they've got. And point number two, which doesn't necessarily completely solve the problem, but by encrypting things, which is they're planning to do, and WhatsApp already does, Facebook is hoping that they can make the ability for people to share information to stay within those closed networks. They're also, I think, looking to head something off of the pass here, because recently in Brazil, WhatsApp was told that they must declare information that was being shared ahead of the election. They said, we can't because we don't have access to messages, we can't read it. And some of their staff were actually held and detained for quite a while until the Brazilian authorities said, okay, we'll take that you can't actually see what's going on here. Now, in some respects, that's a good thing. There's your privacy there. That's pretty good. But by the same token, for Facebook to say, we'll encrypt everything, we can't see it, then it's not our problem. We're going to look to try and stop any illegal activity. But how really would you know what's illegal, what's fair, what's not fair? When not only are you not able to read it all, you can't read most of it. So that
you
is the challenge
for them. And you've got to try and police human nature. The hardest thing in the world to police.
It is. So the third one, and this is, I think, kind of the masterstroke, but really it's just been lifted out of the playbook for Snapchat. Not that too many people still see that as being the amazing unicorn that it could be. Because in the beginning, Facebook wanted to be your digital journal. Your digital life was supposed to be captured there. Every single picture, every post, every like, every comment, every movie you watched, every book you read, they wanted to share it all and keep it in one place for you and for all of your friends. And should your friends want to share that with anybody else they wanted. Advertisers could read all of this, make massively targeted profiles about you, and then advertise stuff to you that they thought you really would want. But now, couple of years have passed. People have posted things that are, well, embarrassing, really offensive, just stupid. They're noticing they're missing out on job opportunities. They're winding up having relationship fail or friendships sort of hit the rocks, because people can go and find this stuff and say, hey, you used to do this, you used to believe that. And that's a real problem. Facebook's plan is simply to say, post whatever you want in the moment and we'll make it disappear. The idea being, make the content go away, and many of the problems should go away with it. And I got to say, that is actually a pretty clever idea. Certainly for this long-term stuff that's going to come back and haunt you, or people just being silly and doing dumb stuff. It doesn't change the fact, though, that if people are posting bad information, and it can spread in matter of hours or something, it's not to say there's not going to still have the ability to harm people. You just won't have the record to go back and say, did somebody try and do X, Y, and Z in the previous 6 months? You're like, well, we don't know. We've deleted all of that, and it's gone forever. So that's a problem. But now here's the other bit that's quite a clever play. And where Mark Zuckerberg is, he's an honorable man. And so here's some things I thought was quite clever. By encrypting the system and closing it all together, they're also looking to make all of their platforms start working across each other. So if I'm on WhatsApp, I can send you something on Messenger. I can send a direct message from Instagram to Facebook. No problem. And by encrypting everything, it means, well, payments can become a little easier. You can already do in the US. You can sort of share money back with people. They're looking to make that broader. They're busy investigating cryptocurrencies. And I think one of the areas they might be very keen to make a play is in remittances. Facebook has a very large international population. And for very many countries, it's principally the way people connect on the internet. Now, if you are wanting to send money back overseas, the industry is big, but the method is expensive and it's not easy. So there's a potential great opportunity for them there. But once you've got people being able to share funds, you can then also have them buy stuff for you, which will be pretty clever. Now, as a final sort of thing, because I think, you know, these things are not simple to fix. But Tim Berners-Lee yesterday, and there's a hat tip to him because it was the 30th anniversary of the internet yesterday. He came up with the idea of creating this platform where people could share information and flow with ideas back in 1989. Mark Zuckerberg was only 5 years old at the time. And so here we are. Here we are 30 years later, and both of them acknowledge that things haven't worked out the way they wanted. But here's the plus side. It is just 30 years. And if we can go back to our little Roman thing at the beginning, it wasn't built in a day.
Nice finish. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual.